Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kedushin Daf Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the top of Daf Hey. On the side, in the margin, you'll notice a nosei. A nosei is a topic heading, which reads, Kinyan Isha B'Shtar. We're looking for a source that a document is one of the means of establishing the marital bond. A man would prepare a document in which it would say, Hare at mikudeshes li, and give that to the woman, and that would accomplish the same thing, that money and that intimacy that we have discussed in our previous shiurim. The Gemara. Uminayin shaf b'shtar. From where do you know that a shtar is a means of establishing a marital bond? V'din hu, logic would dictate, Uma kesef she'ein motzi machnis, cash, which is incapable of establishing a divorce, but machnis, it does bring in, it establishes bringing in the woman into the marriage. It establishes a marriage. Shtar she'motzi eino din she'machnis, a document which does have the power of divorce, certainly it would have the power of bringing in, of establishing a marriage. So we have a kal v'chomer that was based on cash. That was the starting point. We try to demonstrate that cash, even though it has a weakness to it, it nevertheless is machnes, so shtar, which has a strength to it, i.e. divorce, certainly it should machnes, it should be able to create a marriage. There is a weakness, though, in this argument, because if you're going to portray kesef as being something of the weaker of the two, that's not necessarily so, because there are aspects that kesef has that a shtar does not have. Ma lekesef, how can you learn from kesef, make your kal v'chomer shekein poidin bo hekdush u'maaser sheni? Cash is the means of redeeming sanctified items. Person sanctified things to the Beis HaMikdash, and he decides that he wants to retain them, so he must redeem them. There are other situations of redemption as well, but the redemption is done with money. Meiser Sheni, that's the tithe that a person brings on the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the sabbatical cycle to Jerusalem and eats his fruits there, and the Torah provides for someone that that cannot do so, it's too cumbersome or what else, he can redeem the fruits, and he does so by transferring their sanctity onto cash. So cash has this quality that it's the vehicle for redemption. Not so tomar b'shtar shein poden bo hegdish u'maiser sheni. You can't say the same thing with regard to a shtar. If you wrote, let us say, an IOU to the temple treasurer and say that this is a shtar, this is a document that I owe you money for the redemption of Hegdish, it doesn't work. As the source says, She'ein poidin bo Hegdish u'maaser sheni dichtiv, the pasuk says, V'nosan hakesef v'kom lo. It's through the paying of money that he then regains possession or ownership, full ownership of the item that was sanctified. So at this point then, I don't have a kal v'chomer because I'm showing that kesef has aspects that shtar does not have. How do you know then that shtar is the means of establishing a marriage? We resort to a posuk. Omar kro v'yotza v'hoysa. Makish Havaya Liyitziya. In this pasuk, we have reference to divorce, and Vahoysa is a reference to marriage. The pasuk compares the two. ma yitzio bishtar, just like divorce is accomplished through a document, af havaya nami bishtar, so too a marriage is established through a shtar. Va'akish nami yitzio lahavaya. Why not say the following? Compare divorce to marriage. If you have a comparison in the pasuk, it ought to work two ways. The result of this suggestion is mahavaya bekesef, just like marriage is accomplished through cash, af yitzia bekesef, so too divorce should be able to be accomplished through cash. The man would give money to the woman and say, with your taking of this money, you are hereby divorced. We know that doesn't work, but the question is, why not? Now, what we've done here, we've dashed, underlined, af yitzia bekesef, because this point becomes the subject of our attention over the next number of lines. You'll notice on the side of the Gemara, we have a subtopic heading, Loma lo megarshim bekesef. Why is it that we do not divorce through cash? Structurally, you see a diamond here, and a few lines later, there are two tshuvos, two answers, l'sheila sanal, to the question we just raised. They are provided by Abaya and Rava. And when we get to Rava, we have a bow tie, because within Rava, Tshuvas Rava mischalik lefi shnei tanoim. The answer Rava gives is really dependent on two different Tanaic opinions. The Gemara. Once again, how do you know that divorce is not accomplished through money? Omar Abaye, it's a logical objection. Yomru, people will say, kesef machnis, kesef creates cash, creates a marriage. Kesef motzi, the same element should undo a marriage, should create a divorce. Sanegor yase kategor, could that be that which is the defender, sanegor, positive entity, the defender, and the term sanegor would be used in a court case, so the one who speaks on your defense for your benefit is called the sanegor. So if you're going to say that cash, which has this positive aspect of establishing a marriage, should it also be the prosecutor, Yasek Kategor, the prosecutor? It's not logical that the same thing should be able to serve with opposite effects. Moses says, if that's your objection to kesef, then ihochi shtar nami, with regard to a document which is used for marriage, it's also used for divorce. And yet we don't object to the effectiveness of a shtar. Yomru, people should then argue shtar, motzi, shtar, machnes, kateger, yasa, sanegor, the shtar is motzi, the shtar creates divorce, the shtar creates a marriage. Could that be that the kategor, this case the main source for shtar is the divorce? So here we're going to end up saying that the kategor, the element that creates divorce, creates also marriage, and yet we do say that. So why object to kesef as being a means of establishing a divorce? The Gemara answers, Mili dahai shtora lechud, umili dahai shtora lechud. The issue of kategor, yasa senegor, is not relevant to a document, because the contents, the text of a divorce are very different than is very different than the text of a marriage document. So it's not the same thing that's having opposite effects. The Gemara asks, well, but hochanami, when it comes to cash, hai kaspa luchud, v'hai kaspa luchud. In one case, the cash is given to establish a marriage. In the other case, the cash is given to establish a divorce. And if you're saying that type of distinction is legitimate when it comes to shtar being effective in both capacities, say the same thing with kesef and allow kesef to be a means of divorce. The Gemara says, no. In the case of cash, the coin inherently is not different. Tiva, the coin, the minted coin, miha chadhu, they're one in the same. If the expressed reason for giving them might be different, but when you look at it objectively, it's not niker. It's not obvious by looking at the coin the difference. Therefore, the coin cannot be used, according to Abaye, as a means of divorce once we know that it's a means of establishing a marriage. A shtar, on the other hand, when you look at the contents of the shtar, you immediately see that they are different. Rava Omar. Omar Kro, regarding a get, the Pusuk says, and once again, we're answering, why do we say that cash is not a means of establishing a divorce? So Rava says, the Pusuk says, by get, v'kosav lo. Pusuk says, v'kosav lo sefer krisus v'nosan biyoda. You write it. V'ksiva misgareshes, v'eino misgareshes b'kesef. The Pusuk has a, let's say, a tone of limitation. And the Pusuk is saying that divorce is accomplished only through writing, through a document, and not through cash. That's what we were looking for. How do you know that divorce cannot be accomplished through cash? The Gemara says, if you're analyzing the Pusuk through the power of inference, I have an alternative suggestion. V'ema b'ksiva misgareshes, v'ena miskadeshes b'ksiva. Maybe the Pusuk is saying that a document is an effective means of divorce, only of divorce, and not an effective means of establishing a marriage. And if you say that, then I would have no source for the document being a means of establishing a marriage. And yet we know that it does. The Gemara says, as far as ruling out a shtar as a means of creating a marriage, that we cannot say. Hoksiv. We already have a pasuk that says v'yotze v'hoisa, makish v'chule means etc. But we saw this before. Makish yitzia, makish havaya liyitzia. We compare marriage to divorce. If divorce is accomplished through a document, marriage is also accomplished through a document. The Gemara asks, "Uma rois? What is it that you saw fit to make the diuk?" The first diuk, we called it Aleph. Why are you insisting on that diuk? On that inference? And as far as the Hekesh is concerned, so the Ritva explains, we can say, like we suggested earlier, that we're going to say we're Makish Yitzia Tavaya. And just like marriage is accomplished through cash, so too divorce could be accomplished through cash. So once again, why are we emphasizing the Diuk that we called here Diuk Aleph, namely that she's... that the Kosav law teaches me b'ksivo miskareshes v'ena miskareshes v'kesef, when you could have used the diuk to say that she's miskareshes with a shtar and not miskadeshes with a shtar. The Gemara answers, mistabra, it's most likely that if you are going to make a limitation, make a mi'ut, kai begerishin, The pasuk of the Kosav law is within the topic of divorce. So, mimayit gerushin, you'll exclude something of a like nature. Namely, she's divorced through a document and not divorced through cash. But to say, koi begerushin mimayit kidushin, that's far-fetched. That if you have a pasuk dealing with divorce, to suggest that she's divorced through a document and not married through a document, that, as we said, that's going too far. And therefore, we're not going to state the miut in that fashion, and we adopt, rather, as Rava said, b'ksiva misgareshes v'ino misgareshes b'kesef. As far as marriage is concerned, divorce and marriage are compared with regard to the shtar. The Gemara asks, "Ulu Rabbi Yosi Aglili da'apik lei lahai kro l'drosh achrina." Rabbi Yosi Aglili was a Tana. He uses the pasuk of v'kosav law for another purpose. She'eino misgareshes b'kesef minolei. Where will Rabbi Yosi Aglili learn that divorce is not accomplished through cash? Answer: He has his source. Omar Kro, Sefer Krisus. The pasuk says the Kosav law Sefer Krisus. It's essentially the same pasuk, just the latter phrase in the pasuk. The man writes a Sefer Krisus, and we learn from this term Sefer Korsa v'ein Dover Acher Korsa. Sefer is a reference to a document that creates the break, the course of the split, the divorce. Nothing else, excluding cash, nothing else, I should say, nothing else, including cash, will be effective. So that the Pasuk is exclusive, it excludes cash. We have a bracketed section, but these brackets are not for skipping purposes. We have a note on the side by the star in the margin. It says, Matras Sugrayim Elu, the purpose of these brackets, Eino L'shem Dilug, is not for skipping. Elo L'vodeid Hashuros Habos K'diyun Pnimi, it's to isolate the upcoming lines as an internal discussion, Bein HaTanoyim, between the Tanoim, the Avraham Yosef Lila and the Rabbanon, Ma Kol Echod Lomeid Me'aposuk Shel Hasheni. What does each one do with the other one's posuk? So we continue now in the bracketed section. V'Rabbanon High Krisus Mai Avdilei, the Rabbanon that came to the conclusion that cash is ineffective from V'Kosav Law, what do they do with Sefer Krisus? Miboya Le, they learn from the word Krisus, L'dover HaKuris Beino Leveino Kedesanya, that a divorce must be a complete divorce without any conditions that keep the couple bound to one another. That's a very general way of putting things. The Gemara will continue with a specific illustration, though. Harezeg Yitech Amanash Lo Tishtiayin Amanash Lo Tech Leveis Ovich. A man says, this is your divorce, but it's conditional, that you don't drink wine, or, he says, on condition that you don't go to your father's house. Is there a time element? Well, Le'olam, if he says that this is on condition that you don't drink wine ever again, Ein Zeh Krisus, that would not accomplish a divorce. Rashi says, in the upper quarter of the page, he says, Ein Zeh Krisus Shekol Yomel Hi Negedes Bo L'Kayim Tanai Zeh Machmoso. All of her life, she's bound to him to make sure that this condition remains. In other words, her divorce is contingent for the rest of her life on her non-drinking of wine. So for the rest of her life, she's still bound to him. That's not the spirit of a divorce. A divorce is a break. However, if he said to her, on condition that you don't drink wine, kol shloishim yom, for the next 30 days, hare zeh krisus, that is an effective divorce. Rashi says, Harei zeh krisus afilu miyad, it's considered a divorce immediately. Dehi tekayem tanai v'teilech. All that we expect of her is to fulfill the condition. She'efshir dvorim halolu lavo lidei havdola. This condition can come to a complete split, even while she is alive. In other words, she'll be able to continue living after the terms of the condition. Namely, after 30 days, there's no more bond whatsoever. The condition's been met if she hasn't drunk the wine. That's called a complete divorce. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, what about Rabbi Yossi Aglili? Where does he learn this idea that a divorce has to be total? As we just illustrated, that when a condition is stated, it has to be a condition that can be met during her lifetime, not dependent on the rest of her life. Where does he learn that from? So Rabbi Yossi Aglili learns it from the fact that the Torah, instead of writing V'kosav lo sefer kores, it expanded the word into krisus. That's what the Gemara means here. Mikores krisus ka nafgale. He learns that point from the Torah's choice to expand the word kores into krisus. So he learns his original point that sefer kores sovein davar acher, kores of cash cannot create the divorce, and also it must be a complete split. Rabbonon, kores krisus lo mashmalahu. They don't see any unique point, any additional point to be developed, but from the fact that the word is expanded into krisus. So therefore the Rabbonon use the basic word krisus to convey the idea of Dover HaKores Beino Leveino, and their source for cash being ineffective is from what we saw in the first Botai, the Kosav Law, B'Ksivu Mizgereshes V'Einu Mizgereshes B'Kesef, as we said above. At this point, the Gemara has a rather an all-encompassing general discussion concerning the three different means of establishing a marriage. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading. Tam shatura hoisu chayavis lichto benifrad kol echo midaki akinin shel isha. Why did the Torah have to state in a separate fashion each one, how to itemize the three different means of marriage, kesef, shtar, and bia? Alternatively, would it not have been possible for the Torah to state, let's say, two of them, and I'll figure out the third? It's true that if you would have stated only one, I wouldn't have been able to figure the others. We already demonstrated that phenomenon above. Rashi points this out. Let's read the Rashi together. Chado mechado lo asyo, hochi kashyole. What is bothering the Gemara now is as follows. Hai tano deliel, de poruch mekulu. The tano that we saw above in the Tanaic sources, from Rashi you get the sense it was the same tano throughout, and in each one of the sources you noticed the question was raised, valo dinhu, the means of marriage, could it not have been figured out by logic? V'hodar delo also midino, and then in each case the Tana responded, no, it can't be figured through logic because of the weakness to the logic that we demonstrated each time. V'atzrachei kro, and as a result a posuk was needed to show that particular means of marriage is effective. Lomeli kro b'kulhu, grant, why do I need a posuk for each one? Granted that by stating one I wouldn't been able to figure out one other. Tesi chada mitarti, could the Torah not have economized nevertheless by stating just two instead of three? State two and I'll figure the third. Bima motzinu, through the ma motzinu method of logic. What is ma motzinu? Betzara shove shebohen, through a common denominator between the two stated methods, and then we'll figure out the third. What is the common denominator that we'll be able to say between two of the methods? Shekinin ba'almo v'kinin kan, that in general they affect a kinyin, they create a transaction, a deal, a bond. V'kinin kanin, here in marriage they do the same thing. So afani v'avias ha'shlishi, I'll then bring in the third element, the third example, sherei kulam kainin b'mokom acher. We find each one of these, kesef, shtar, and bia, being effective in some other topic. Kesef, ushtar, kainin b'am livriya. Cash and a document are effective means of acquisition of a Hebrew bond made. Kidul kamon, as the Gemara points out later. And bia, kainin b'yavoma. Bia, intimacy, is a means of acquisition or establishing the Yavoma relationship, the Yavoma marriage, but it's a different kind of marriage. So the three, there is a common denominator running between all three, that they create a kinyan, a bond, or a deal in other areas. So if I show two of them being able to accomplish marriage, the Torah spell that out, and I know that they also have this power of establishing a kinyan ba'alma, then the third means, I will say, well, it too establishes a kinyan ba'amo, so let it also be a means of establishing marriage without the Torah having to specify it. What we have to deal now with is, so which two should be stated and which one is not to be stated? Which one would you leave out? The double underline that you see highlights a series of suggestions, but in each time, of course, we will reject it. And by rejecting these suggestions, we're then justifying why the Torah had to spell out the third means as well. Now, the Gemara. Let's read from the beginning of line. Again, Chado mechado lo asyo, teisi chado mitati. Trying to derive one means of marriage from stating just one means, that is impossible. It won't be. It's not derivable. Tesi chalamitati. Let one be derived by stating two. Why state all three means of marriage? The Gemara says, "All right. Well, hey, Tesi, which one should be derived? When we say that, which one should be derived? We're saying in so many words, which one should not be stated? Lo lichtev rachmona b'shtar. Let's let's experiment here. Let's say, let the Torah not write shtar. V'teisi mehanochen, learn from the fact that marriage can be accomplished through kesef and bia, through cash and intimacy. And Rashi already spelled out how the what the logic would be. Namely, we see that cash and intimacy are effective means of establishing a marriage, and they're also effective of establishing a kinyan elsewhere. So to shtar, which is effective in establishing transactions elsewhere, let it too be a means of establishing a marriage, without the Torah having to spell out the rule of shtar being a marriage device. The Gemara says the logic doesn't work, because those two, kesef and bia, have an element that shtar does not have. Ma lahanoch, how can you compare them, kesef and bia, to the shtar, shekein hana'osan meruba? Literally means they provide a great deal of pleasure. Cash, when someone receives cash, so they have pleasure from that. From the cash itself. Bia, the intimacy, I think that's self-evident. There's pleasure involved. Receiving a piece of paper on which it's written, Hareyat Mikudeshesli, what pleasure do they have in the receipt of the words written on the paper? Therefore, the fact that Kesef and B are able to accomplish a marriage, that's because of this element, Hanosan Maruba, which Star lacks. Let's try another suggestion. Lo nichtoiv rachmona bebia. Let the Torah remain silent regarding bia as a means of establishing a marriage. V'teisi mehanoch, and let the Torah let it be derived from the others, from stating kesef and shtar as means of marriage. No, that logic won't work either. Ma lahanoch, kesef and shtar have an element, have an aspect that bia does not have. Shekein kinyonon meruba. What does kinyon and meruba mean? Rashi says, kinyon meruba shekinin karkois vavodim. With kesef, with cash, and with documents, you can acquire other things as well. You can acquire land. You can acquire slaves. Not so with regard to bia. Bia is a limited means of establishing other things. It's true, it establishes a yibum, but not it's not as expansive as kesef and shtar. So by stating kesef and shtar would not have been able to derive bia. Well, let's try a third suggestion. Lo nichtoiv rachmona bekesef, let the Torah remain silent regarding kesef as a means of establishing a marriage. V'teisei mehanoch, and let me derive kesef as effective from bia and shtar, as we saw before in the Rashi, through the common denominator. No. Ma lehanoch shekein yeshnon baal korcha. Bia and shtar are, let's say, kinyonim that work against the woman's will. What do we mean by that? Well, bia is effective in yibum, even if she is not agreeing to the yibum. We know from the Torah, from the pasuk, that if the surviving brother-in-law has intimacy with her, even if it's against her will, that will establish a yibum marriage. With regard to a shtar, we know that it's effective in establishing a divorce against her will on a Torah level. We're not speaking here in practical halachic terms, but from the Torah standpoint, a shtar is moitzias ha'isha even against her will. So we see bia and the shtar being effective Baal korcha, against her will. V'chitem o kesef nami baal korcha ba'am o'evuya. You might argue, well, kesef also works against her will in the case of a sale where a father sells his daughter to an amo evriya. He's selling his minor daughter. She's not adult. She's a non-adult. He's selling her into obligated work situation against her will. So can it not be said that kesef also works baal korcha? The Gemara says That's true. It works against her will. She doesn't express her consent to being sold into a Hebrew Jewish slavery. But nevertheless, be'ishus mi'alo ashikon. You don't find kesef with regard to laws that are related to marriage working in a Baal Korcho fashion. Whereas by bi'ah, you do. Yibum is a type of marriage. Divorce, where shtar works Baal Korcho, is the disbanding of a marriage. The case of kesef Baal Korcho has to do with a financial transaction. It's not a marriage-related phenomenon. As a result, we have justified the Torah in stating each one, and the suggestion of the Torah economizing falls by the wayside. You notice we have a special marking around Rav Huna, and that's because Rav Huna and his particular teaching will preoccupy the Gemara for quite a relatively long bit of time. On the side, we have the Nosei, the topic heading, which reads, Shitas Rav Huna Chupa Kina. Rav Huna's opinion, we'll see in the Gemara, is that in addition to Kesef, Shtar, and Bia, a Kiddushin, a marriage, first stage of marriage, can be accomplished by the man and woman standing under a chuppah, standing under a canopy. Now, up to this point, everyone, I'm sure, is familiar with the traditional marriage canopy. But that, the traditional marriage canopy, we say what we're accustomed to, what we're used to, that is for nisuin. That's to complete the marriage. Jewish law describes marriage as taking place in two stages, the erusin followed by the nisuin. So chuppah establishes nisuin. Rav Huna's innovation is to suggest that chuppah will enable the first stage of marriage to be accomplished. Up till now, we've learned kesef, shtar, and bio do that. With Rav Huna in the picture, chuppah now becomes another means. The Gemara, Omar Rav Huna, chuppah kina mikal v'chomer. The house marking that you see is explained under the Mivneh on the side of the Gemara. These are two attempts in order to demonstrate that chuppah should be a means of establishing the initial marital bond. So using Kal v'chomer logic, we continue in the Gemara. Uma kesef she'eno machil betruma kaine. When a man betroths a woman, let's say he is a Kohen. A Kohen eats truma, that's the tithe one separates from his produce, giving it to Kohanim. Non-Kohanim are not allowed to eat from it. When a Kohen has a wife, or he has heathen slaves, they're entitled to eat from truma. However, by the Kohen merely giving cash in establishing the first stage of marriage, so kesef is not a means of ma'achil b'truma. And yet, that means the wife at the first stage of marriage to a Kohen is not yet entitled to eat truma. Chupa shema'acheles b'truma, we know that after chupa, the Kohen who had married her and they went to the marriage canopy, she now is able to eat truma. So you see a strength that chuppah has that kesef does not have. So if chuppah has a strength that kesef does not have, eino din shetikne, all the more so it should be no less than kesef in establishing the first stage of marriage. The Gemara questions this assumption. The kesef eino machil. Is that so that kesef does not enable her to eat truma? V'amar ulo. Devar ulo tells us, devar Torah ruso bas Yisrael ocheles betruma. Aruso is the term used for the first stage of marriage, our topic. And if she's a Aruso to a Kohen, she's marrying a Kohen, though she's a Bas Yisrael, she is entitled to eat Truma. Shinema, the Pasuk says, by Truma, v'kayin keyikne nefesh kinyin kaspoi. It goes on to say, hu yochal bo. When a Kohen establishes a kinyan, those whom the kohen was koine, and kesef is a kinyan, they are thereby entitled to eat truma. V'hai kinyan kaspahu. The arusa is a reflection of a bond that he established through cash. Now, technically speaking, practically speaking, the arusa does not eat. Umatam omru eino echeles. Why, in practical terms, does she not eat the truma? Gezeiro shema yimzigu la kois beveis avia v'tashkenu la'achia la'chel la'choisea. Refrain that prior to their consummation of the marriage, she's still living in her father's house along with her brothers and sisters, and it's a non-Kohen family. If she's going to be eating, consuming truma amongst the different products that are tithed are wine, so she might have a cup of wine of truma filled up because the Torah in fact allows her to drink it. But she might offer her brothers or sisters to drink as well, and they're strictly forbidden in doing so. So we made a rabbinic restriction on the arusa consuming truma. But to describe kesef as not machil is simply not accurate on a Torah level. So where's the weakness in the Kal v'chomer? Ela porachachi. If you want to challenge Rav Huna's Kal v'chomer, correction. If you want to establish a Kal v'chomer, the attempt that Rav Huna made just now to establish the Kal v'chomer based on the weakness of kesef as not machil b'truma, we demonstrated that's not true. So porachachi means if you want to state a Kal v'chomer to justify chuppah as being a means of kaine, state it as follows. And that's why we have the second house, the second attempt to establish a Kal v'chomer to that effect. Uma kesef she'eno goymer kaine. When a man offers in marriage money to the woman, she doesn't, gomer means it doesn't finish off her connection to her father. It doesn't take her out of her father's domain. Meaning, the income that she produces, called maisi yodayim, and if she were to die, inheritance of the woman, by her having received kesef as a means of marriage, would not have enabled the husband yet to benefit from her income or inherit her. So kesef has that weakness to it. It's not gomer. It doesn't complete her exit from the father. Yet, kaine, it does establish a marital bond. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. Chupa shegoimeres eino din shetikne. After chupa, What do we know about chuppa in general? After chuppa, the income of the woman, and if she dies, her inheritance goes to the husband. So chuppa shegoimeres, chuppa that has that quality, certainly it should be able to establish the first stage of marriage, i.e. chuppa alone, without any additional act, without any additional erusin. Erusin is the term used for the establishing the first stage of marriage. Let chuppah then be able to do that on its own. Once again, the Gemara shows a weakness to this logic. Ma lekesef shekein poidin bo hekdeshu samayser sheni. The use of the double underline, and we've explained this on the side, pirchus l'limut shavuna, these are refutations. There are demonstrations of weakness to Rav Huna's Kal v'chomer. We just attempted to portray kesef as having an element of weakness to it. On the other hand, it has a strength that chuppa does not have, and that is that kesef is the means through which one can redeem hektish, sanctified items, and meiser sheni. We already saw this earlier in today's shiur. So kesef is the vehicle through which we are poded, we redeem things, Not so by chuppah. Well, so is it therefore then, are you saying that at this point then, we seem to be saying you can't make the kal vachomer on the grounds that what? That kesef is a means of pidyon. Well, the Gemara says, well, bia tochiach. Let intimacy prove that chuppah should be able to make a kinyan, make erusin. In other words, if you thought a moment ago that the strength of kesef as being kine is because it's poidin boy hekdeshus and meiser sheni, well, what do you say about intimacy? Intimacy is not a means of pinyon, and yet it accomplishes kinyan. So let us say the same thing with regard to chuppah. And we would then use the, we could use the original framework of the kal vachomer and say, Uma bia, she'eno gomer is kaine. Chuppah, that's gomer, it certainly should be kaine. No, that's rejected as well. Because bia has an aspect making it more significant than chuppah. Ma la bia, she'ken kaine biyavoma. Bia is a means of consummating a yibum. Not so with regard to chuppah. Chuppah is meaningless in the context of yibum. So I don't see yet a kal vachomer through which I can conclude that chuppah is a means of koine, of establishing the first stage of marriage. The Gemara's response, if you're saying then that bia is not a basis of a kal vachomer because it has the yavama aspect that chuppah doesn't have, kesef yochiach. Kesef is irrelevant in the case of yibum, and yet it does establish the first stage of marriage. So all the more so, we should say that chuppah can do the same. The chozar hadin, and the logic continues to revolve. Meaning, well, if you're going to say let kesef prove it, but they'll say back once again that kesef is the means of pidyon, which you don't find by chuppah. Lo roizeh keroizeh, velo roizeh keroizeh. Each one of these things, the bia and kesef, has aspects that the other one does not have. However, hatzara shavah shebahen, kesef and bia have a common denominator, shekainin ba'alma v'kainin kan. In general, we know they establish kinyonim, and they work with regard to kan means here, kidushe isha, a marriage. Afani avi chupa, shekainin ba'alma v'kainin kan. So too, I will introduce chupa. That's, now, what does kone bialma mean? It enables a husband to inherit. It enables a husband to be the sole annuller of her vows. So chuppah has relevance to, let's say, the realm of kinyonim elsewhere, and therefore let it be kone kan without any additional erusin. So through the tzad hashoveh, Rav Huna would be able to conclude that chuppah is koinet. Notice the double underline. We're going to try to upset this as well. Ma la tzara sheva shebahen, the common denominator between kesef and bia includes shekain hanosim ruba. There's a lot of pleasure to them. The receiver of the cash, the act of intimacy, they involve hano. You can't say the same thing with regard to standing under a marriage canopy. Oh, so you're saying that I can't derive chuppah because the tzad hashav involved hanom ruba, well, shtar yochiach. Let the phenomenon of a document then be the proof that chuppah can be koine, because the shtar, the document establishing a marriage, does not have any hano'o to it, but yet it does accomplish a marriage, establishing a marital bond. So we can say the same thing by chuppah. No, ma'al shtar shekein motzi bebas Yisrael. The shtar has a power that chuppah doesn't have, and that it creates divorce. Not so with chuppah. Well, kesef ubiyo yochicho. Let cash and intimacy then prove the point. They do not create divorce, yet they do accomplish the establishment of a marital bond. So let's say the same thing by chuppah. V'chazar hadin, and the logic revolves. Lo roizek roizev lo roizek roizev. Bia and Kesef has aspects that Shtar does not have. Shtar has aspects that Bia and Kesef do not have. Tzad Hashem v'shebahen. The common denominator amongst all three of them, Shtar, Kesef, and Bia, shekeinin ba'amo, v'keinin kan. They create deals, they clinch deals, they create bonds elsewhere, and they do so here with regard to marriage. Af ani avi chupa shekeinin ba'amo, v'keinin kan. I'll include, by the same token, says Rav Huna, chupa, which has this power of koine b'amo. We mentioned before Yerusha, Haforas Nedorim. Let it also be a means of koine kan, of establishing the first stage of marriage here. I mean, here in the case of marriage. The Gemara challenges the logic. Ma latal shev shahen shekein yeshlan baal korcha. All three, Shtar, Kesef, and Bia, are means of establishing a kinyan even against her will. We've seen before the Shtar in the case of divorce, Bia in the case of Yibum, Kesef in the case of Amo Ivria. We don't find Chuppah working Baal Korcha, so it falls by the wayside. Ve'rabu, no. What's Rav Huna's response to that? Ha kesef miha ve'ishus lo ashkam baal korcha. Kesef we don't find in the realm of marriage slash divorce matters, working baal korcha. So to suggest that their strength is through their ability to operate even against her will, that's not accurate. It's not all three, two of the three, true. In the realm of Ishus, marriage slash divorce do work, operate Baal Korcha, but not so with regard to cash. And just like cash doesn't have the Ishus Baal Korcha element, Chuppah, which lacks the Ishus Baal Korcha element, nevertheless, it should be no less than cash in its ability to create the first stage of marriage. So at this point, Rav Huna is on firm ground. But we're not finished. Omar Rova, Shtei Tshuvas Badover. There are two questions that we can raise against Rav Huna. Rav Huna suggested that Chuppah is Kina on its own without any cash. Chada, one objection is the Sholosh Tanan V'Arbaloi Tanan. The Mishnah said, Ishik Nes Miknes B'Shloish Adrochem, a woman is married through three means, not four. Kesef, Shtar, and Bia, three. If you're going to add Chuppah, you're adding a fourth. The Mishnah said three. Three means three, not four. V'yoid, Klum, Chuppah, Goymeres, Elo, Ayadei, Kiddushin. When we describe Chuppah in Rav Huna's original Kal Vachomer, on the top line, here you can see Chuppah, Shegoymeres, Chuppah, which has the ability to complete complete the marriage, to make it complete. Certainly it should be able to create a first stage, but Chuppah doesn't work in a vacuum. When we describe Chuppah as Gomeres, let's read the phrase again, V'yod Chuppah Gomeres Elo Ayadei Kiddushin. Is it not so that Chuppah's strength as completing a marriage, that's only because there was a prior stage, there was Kiddushin, there was an Erusin beforehand? Is this logically sound to learn to create a Kal Vachomer describing the power of Chuppah without any prior Kiddushin from the known example of Chuppah, which however was preceded by Kiddushin? In layman's terms, true, we find Chuppah having strength, but that's only because it's aided by another means. It has, it was preceded by Kesef, Shtar, Bia. To go from that power of Chuppah to conclude that Chuppah can work in a vacuum, in isolation, as a sole means of establishing a marriage, who says? Omar Le Abaye. Abaye is going to respond to the two objections we just heard from Rava. Ha de Koamris, Gimel Tanan, Vidalid Lo Tanan. That which you said that the Mishnah says three means are effective, three, not four. The three were stated with a specific common thread between them, but not to exclude chuppah. Tana milsa diksiva behedya katani. The Tana was interested in stating the three that have psukim that describe them. Behedya means explicitly, or we could say on their own. Milsa de loksiva behedya, something that's not stated in a scripture. For example, chuppah. Chuppah we derive through pure logic. It wasn't dependent. Rav Huna was not attaching chuppah's effectiveness to a scriptural source. So, lo katani, that was not stated in the Mishnah. So when the Mishnah said that Isha nikneis b'shlisha drachim, the Mishnah was saying a woman can be acquired through three means that have a scriptural basis. There are other means too, chuppah, but it doesn't have a scriptural basis. Doesn't mean it's ineffective. Logic is also a means of deriving halacha. Udiko Amris, and regarding your challenge, Chlum Chupa Gemeres Ela Ayadei Kiddushin, the significance of a chupa that we find in general is one only because it was preceded by Kiddushin by a first stage. Chupa that we know of in general only follows a Kiddushin. It's a means of consummating the marriage, of completing the marriage. Rav Huna Nami Hochi Koma. Rav Huna took that into consideration. Rav Huna factored that into his Kal Vachomer as follows. Uma Kesef Kesh She'eino Goymer Acher Kesef Kaine. If you were to attempt to give a second cash payment to the woman to work as what Chuppah does, in other words, it was first an initial stage of marriage through Kesef, and then give her Kesef again to Gomer, after which he would be able to inherit her if she dies, or he'll be able to annul her vows. Well, Kesef just doesn't do that. A second payment of Kesef is not Gomer. And yet, even though it lacks the power of Gomer, it does establish a first stage of marriage. Chuppah she Gomeres achar Kesef. Chuppah has this quality that Kesef lacks. Chuppah is able to complete the marriage following Kesef, following an initial money payment made to her, to the bride. Eino din shetikna, then all the more so. It should be able to establish a first stage of marriage. So with thanks to Abaye, Rav Huna's suggestion remains intact. The result of this would be that if you were to rule like Rav Huna, you would be suggesting a fourth means of establishing an initial marital bond, where a man takes a woman that he wants to marry, and they stand under a marriage canopy, and he says Hareyat Mekudeshes Li. That would establish a kiddushin, a marriage. On the side, we have a topic heading which reads Ketzad Mekachin Bekesef. How is marriage accomplished through cash? Tonu Rabbanan. In the text, Ketzad Bekesef. We know that Kesef is effective. Well, how does it work? Or how do you do it? Nosan Lo Kesef or Shove Kesef. A man gives to a woman actual cash or items having cash value. V'omar Lo. Well, we've dashed on V'omar. We'll need this marking later when we get into the Gemara. And he said to her, Hare at Mekudeshes Li, or Hare at Mureses Li, or Hare at Li Lintu. Lintu means as a wife. Any of these expressions are legitimate expressions. Hare Zu Mekudeshes. He gave her the money. So the man is quite active on two counts. He's giving the money, and he is speaking as well. He's the speaker. Avol, but in, let's say, direct contrast, he shenosna v'yomra. Imagine the woman. There are certain societies in which people think in very, very universal terms of equality, that everyone has to be the same. Other than physiological differences, men and women are the same. And they have all the same rights and the same powers, and everything is the same. So imagine the following. The woman gives the money to the man, and the woman says, Hareini mikudeshes loch. Mikudeshes, we're not going to translate it literally, but it means a term we saw earlier in our perek. It's a term referring to marriage. I am hereby married unto you. Hareini mu'reses loch. The same idea. Hareini loch lintu. I am unto you as a wife. So she is bringing herself to the husband. Eino mikudeshes. Would be ineffective. She would not be married. In all due respect to secular concepts of absolute universal equality, which is confused with equivalence. They're not the same ideas. People can be of equal importance, but they don't. Doesn't mean they have equal roles to fulfill or sameness. Equality and sameness are in fact not interchangeable concepts. So the woman who behaves thusly would not create a marriage. So what we've seen in this source is what does work and what would not work. There's a long question that's raised, and the heart of the question is based on inferences that you could draw from the source we just read. At the end of the day, though, you're going to have these questions are going to have to be answered. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Mivne, structural note. You'll notice a diamond. The diamond will highlight the word ha. That's a word of inference. And the double underline, you'll see, is used to show diukim. We've written on the side of the Gemara, diukim soisrim me'areshava seifa. Inferences that you would draw from the first part of the source versus inferences that you would draw from the second part of the source, and you're going to see how they're contradictory. We certainly cannot live with contradictions, even if the contradictions are derived through inferences. The Gemara, Maski Flora Popo, Taimo de Nosan Vihu Vyomar Hu. How is a marriage accomplished? How is it effective? If the husband is proactive on both counts. He's giving the money, and he's also the speaker. That would leave room to infer that if he's not proactive on both counts, even if he is on one account, it would not accomplish a marriage. Ha nosanhu, if he gave the money, the omra he, but she said what we saw in the source. Eino mekudeshes, the inference would say that would not be effective. Just to repeat, in order for it to be effective, he has to do both. If she were to do this, the speaking, even though he's giving the money, so that would not be effective. Amal Seifo, continue reading the source. Aval, he, shenosna lo v'yomra, he, lo have a kiddushin. If she gave the money to the man and she said the above stated phrases, that would not be an effective kiddushin. So why is it ineffective? Taimo denosna hi v'yomrahi, because she did both. Let's say she did one. Ha nosan hu v'yomrahi, the same case as before. Let's say he gave the money and she spoke. Have a kiddushin. In other words, as long as he's giving the money, she could speak. That would be what you could infer from the Seifa. And that would be a good condition. If you just focus on the double underline, well, in the ratio we inferred Eina Mekudeshes, here you see, have a condition, that's a contradiction. The Gemara says, Reisha Davka. Davka can be translated as Reisha, the Reisha is literal. It's also, you can explain the word Davka as Miduyak, meaning precise, accurate. The Reisha is to be viewed as the accurate statement of Halacha. In other words, he has to do both. Any inference that you would draw from that where he's not going to be doing both will not be Kiddushin. Seifa Kedinaba. The Seifa was brought for no real pressing reason. In other words, the ratio tells you how Kesef accomplishes the marriage. Once you know that, you understand that any variation on that is not going to be effective. If he doesn't do both, if he does only one of the things, not effective. Certainly if he's not going to do either of them, certainly it's ineffective. So the Sefer was kedinas, brought for nothing. The Gemara asks, you can say on other occasions that the source has, we'll say, extraneous information. However, in this case, the Tani Seifa Milsa de Sasra Lula Resha, is that legitimate to have the Seifa teaching through the inferences something that actually contradicts that which you can infer from the Resha? As we said, the fact that extraneous information appears, we could live with that. But to have information that's going to lead to a contradiction, who says, how can you accept that? Ela hachi koma. Therefore, we have to reread or re-understand the original source. The original source said, Ketza bekesef, how does kesef work? As follows. Nosan hu, v'yomar hu, if he does both, pshita, dahavu, kedushin, that's obviously effective. Nosan hu, v'yomra hi, let's say he gave the money, and she did the speaking. In other words, he did one of the things. Nase kimi, that's just as bad, just as lacking. Kimisha nosnahi vyomrahi, velo havu kedushin. We didn't point out the sources for these conclusions as we were going along in the Gemara, but Rashi does point out the idea of his having to give the money, that's learned from ki yikach ish. The man is the acquirer, the establisher of the bond. That's ki yikach, and he therefore has to do the giving of the money. So the source doesn't have any contradiction in it if you follow this rereading. Simply, he has to do both things. If he does one, it's like he did nothing. V'iboyaseimo, another approach. Nosan hu v'yomar hu mikudeshes. The original source that we said was, say, fraught with contradiction. So let's go over it this way. If he does both, it's clear that he has created a marriage. Nosnahi v'yomrahi, if she does both things, eina mikudeshes, it's clear nothing has been accomplished. Nosan hu v'yomrahi, if he did the giving of the money, but she did the speaking, sveikahi, that creates a possible or a doubtful bond, the chayshinon midrabonon, and that causes us to be suspect. What does the result of being suspect mean practically? So, if we look in Rashi, a little more than halfway down, Rashi says, "V'chayshinon midrabonon, sheim bo acher v'kidsha." If someone else comes after this happened, after he gave her money and she said, "Hare ani mikudeshes loch," or "Hareini mureses loch," "Hareini mikudeshes loch." If that took place, and then some other man came and married her, tzricha get mishneim. She's going to need a divorce from both of these men. Shema lo hayu shel rishon kiddushin v'chol kiddushin sheni. Could be that the first man's efforts did not result in a kiddushin, and the second man's efforts did. O shema shel rishon kiddushin v'lo shel sheni. Or maybe the first man's efforts did accomplish a marriage, and hence the second man's efforts are a zero. So the result of nosan hu v'yomrahi would create a suffix. But once again, you can see that through this approach, we're not confronting a concern of contradiction in the source. On the side of the Gemara, you'll notice we have an osei topic heading, which reads, Shitas Shmuel biyodayim she'ein mochichos. The opinion of Shmuel with regard to a concept known as Yadayim Shein Mochichos, that's where a person speaks, expresses his will or his intention, but he doesn't do so in a complete form. The word yodayim is a term referring to the handle of a vessel. You can pick up a vessel by grabbing upon the vessel itself. That's holding the entire vessel. Or by holding the handle of the vessel, you're not holding the entire vessel, just holding its handle, but through that you're able to maneuver the vessel in its entirety anyway. That's the idea of a yad. It's something that's incomplete, but you can have a partial phrase that has clarity to it. You can also have a partial phrase that is not entirely clear. That's called Yadayim She'ein Mochichos. The house marking that you see is featured on the side under the Mivneh heading, and it says Hadgoshas, Kiddushin, and Gerushin. We're going to highlight the terms Kiddushin and Gerushin, which will have benefit for the Gemara's discussion. Notice, by the way, that Shmuel is presented here with a long marking, so it's Shmuel's point. The Gemara, Omar Shmuel, the Kiddushin, Nosan lo kesef, ishova kesef, the Omar law. In the case of Kiddushin, if he gave her cash or an item of cash value, the Omar law, and he said to her, Hare at mikudeshes, Hare at mureses, Hare at leintu, Hare zu mikudeshes. The thinking right now is that when he gave her the money and he said to Areyat Mekudeshes, he didn't say li. He said, you are married, but didn't say to whom. He didn't say, you are married unto me. That's the thinking right now. And it says here that it's effective. Hareini Ishech, Hareini Baalech, Hareini Arusech, Ein Kan Beis Michush. If, however, he uses terms like this, I am Ishech, I am your husband, or I am Balech, also a term referring to a husband, or I am your Orus. Those, Enkan Beis Mikdash, there's nothing, there's not even a Sofei Kiddushin, there's no marriage whatsoever. And this is derived from the Pasuk Ki Yikach, means he takes her unto him, and not that he brings himself to her. And by saying, I am your husband, he is bringing himself to her. And that's not valid because of the verse. V'chein b'gerushin. Likewise, with regard to gerushin, Shmuel continues speaking. Nosan law, the Omar law, he gives her a divorce document and says, Harei at mishulachas, harei at megureshes, harei at muteres l'chol adam. In any of these phrases, you are hereby sent away, you are hereby divorced, you are hereby allowed to marry anyone you want. Hare zu migureshes. That's effective. Now, a list of ineffective expressions. Eini ishech. I am no longer your husband. He's removing himself from her. Eini balech. Likewise. Eini arusech. In each one of these, he is attempting to divorce her by his declaring that he is no longer with her. He's removing himself. Ein kan beis mechush. There is nothing. There is no divorce whatsoever. The result of saying there's nothing, there's not even a tinge of divorce, is, as Rashi says, she is ultimately going to be allowed to marry a kohen. If this man dies, the husband dies, she's a widow, and a widow is allowed to marry a kohen hedyo. She doesn't have any element, any tinge of a divorcee. And now a question is raised. A question on Shmuel. We mentioned before that we had a long marking for Shmuel. So up till this point is in effect what Shmuel's teaching was. From here to the end of the Omid, you see a question. Omar le Rav Popo Labaye. L'meimra desovar Shmuel yodayim shein mochichos havyan yodayim. Are you suggesting that Shmuel's opinion is that a phrase that's not mochiach, that's not absolutely clear, is nevertheless effective? Just to review what we mentioned before, man says to woman, he gives her money and says, Hare at mekudeshes. He doesn't say li. He doesn't say to whom. He doesn't say you're married to me. And yet Shmuel said, he said harezim u'gashas. That's effective. So are you saying that according to Shmuel, yodayim shem l'chichas havyon yodayim, that it's considered effective as a partial meaningful phrase? The ha tnan. But we have a Tanaic source found in other masechtes. Ha'oimer ahei. A man says ahei. I will be. That's all he says. Ahei. Harezim u'gashas. He becomes bound to observe the vow of a nazir. No more. He'll be restricted from wine consumption or vine products. He will be prohibited to defile himself to the dead, as is the case of a nazir. He'll have to then bring sacrifices at the conclusion of his nazir. He becomes a nazir just by saying, "Hey." V'havinon bo, and we ask on that Tanaic source, V'dilma hei b'tainis komar. He says, "I will be." Means I will be in fasting. Who says it has anything to do with nazirus? The Omar Shmuel, and we dash on Shmuel, we want to focus on Shmuel because he's the opinion we're analyzing right now. And Shmuel says, for who show you nozir over lefonov? The Mishnah that says by saying I hey you become a nozir, that's because an actual nozir was walking in front of him, was passing by. So you have a man saying, I will be, and there is right in front of a nozir walking by. Taima, the nozir over lefonov. The reason he is bound to observe the nozir vow is because you had very clear evidence as to what the man's intention was. Halav hachilo. But without that very clear demonstration, he wouldn't be bound. So you see from here that Shmuel's attitude toward yodayim shem l'chichos, they're not effective. Those kind of phrases that don't have total clarity to them are not binding. The Gemara answers, Hacha b'mayaskin, and here with regard to Shmuel's teaching by the Kiddushin, the Omar Li, he in fact did say Li. He said, Harei at mukudeshes Li, you are married unto me. It's very clear then to whom she's being married. Well, Li hachi maikom hashon. If that's what Shmuel was teaching, what do I need to be taught that which is so obvious? The Gemara answers. Before we read the answer, I want you to note in our markings we had Roman numerals 1. And 2. These Roman numerals made a distinction between effective expressions versus ineffective expressions. Under the case of Kiddushin, notice we have a Roman numeral 2, and the case of Gerushin, we had a Roman numeral number 2. The Gemara continues and says, Hani, we continue at the top of Davov, Lishni Basroi Komashmalon. I needed Shmuel to teach what he did in the Roman numeral number 2 lists, i.e., the ineffective expressions. I needed him to teach me what's ineffective by Kiddushin, what's ineffective by Gerushin. And the Gemara explains what the basis of their respective ineffectiveness is. In the case of marriage, it says ki yikach. The man has to use a language where it says where it reflects the idea of his taking the woman unto himself. They're not a language that would convey the idea that he is bringing himself into her domain. Regarding a divorce, it says vishilcha. And he sends her away. Not that he sends himself away, not that he removes himself from her. That would not be effective, as we explained. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.